Hello, and this is Niacom. We're back on the air this Saturday, and it's April 21st, I believe it is, 2012, and Niacom is new independent artist communicating our message. I'm your host, Michael Anthony Johnson, and we have our incredible host,
Vonda L. Chappelle.
Oh, wait a minute, Vonda L. Chappelle. Hey,
I like throwing that L in there sometimes. You know, I kind of fluctuate between that and the other. It's all right. It's okay. I'm still Vonda.
Is it L period or E-L-L-E?
It's L period. Don't ask me what it stands for because I'm not going to tell you.
Don't get upset. We got an incredible guest with us, and his name is Dej P. Dej, welcome to the Niacom. How you doing?
Yay! Hey, how's it going? I'm doing fantastic. How y'all doing?
Good.
Hey, good to have you on the show, and we just welcome you with open arms, and we can't wait to hear some of your music, and can't wait to hear about your ministry and what God is doing in you. Tell us who Dej P is.
Dej P is a younger man from Los Angeles, California.
And, all right.
Doing a Christian rap thing for the Lord, you know. That's who Dej P is right now, you know.
Yeah. All right. I love it.
Yeah. Hey, Dej, it's my turn, Michael. Thank you very much. Anyway, as I was saying, I have been a super, super fan of yours for a long time, okay? Mm-hmm. And just kind of where the audience, I kind of want our listeners to know where I met you. I met Dej doing my Shout Life days, and I'm not kind of advertising Shout Life, but it's a Christian type of Facebook. And I remember meeting Dej or interacting with Dej P on Shout Life. Wonderful man. I love him, and I told him before, I liked him because he's one of those artists that does not mind interacting with people and interacting with fans, and that makes such a huge difference. I've met people on Facebook that you try to talk to them, and they don't have a clue who you are. They don't try to learn who you are, don't say anything, any of that. Dej was different, and this has been probably 6 or 7 years ago, and I finally found him on Facebook, and instantly I was like, Dej, you remember me? He's like, yeah, Vonda. I don't know if you remember me or not, Dej, but you sure did make me feel good. That's all.
Oh, yeah. I remember.
I was like, yes. So I just love you. I just love you, love you, love you. But what I wanted to ask you, I was always a skeptic on, and I asked this question because I had a lot of people that when I told them I was interviewing you, they wanted me to ask this question. You have so many Christian people, and I was one of them at one time, that did not believe in gospel rap. And before God saved me, I wasn't really a big rap fan then. So when I came into Christ, it was really hard for me to accept it. And growing up in traditional Pentecostal strictness, they make you think that there's so many things that's God, that's not God and all that. And so people listen to your music and say, he's just trying to conform and trying to bring the world into the church. And I don't believe that. I used to. Mm-hmm. I started listening to your music. I started listening to music of other rap artists. What do you tell those people? Me, the scripture that says different administration, but the same spirit comes to mind. What do you say to those skeptics?
Well, I was one of those skeptics myself. See, I used to rap secular, and used to rap about everything, girls, money, everything. So when I did that and I turned my life to Christ, I had that illusion that the rap was all the devil anyway. So rap was of the devil, and I totally... Anything that wasn't Christ-like, I totally threw it out. And that included all my musical equipment, all my CDs, anything that wasn't traditional gospel, you know, was thrown out into the garbage can. And I had that assumption that, you know, rap and anything else wasn't of God. So it took me maybe about 2 or 3 years after my conversion to realize, and God was always speaking to me, and you know, every time I'm praying and I'm having my alone time with God, He'd be speaking with me, and I'd be like, oh, Lord, that's not you. That's got to be Satan. You know, this is not of God. I know I'm not supposed to be doing this rap thing. This is devil, and you know, just so happens that you know, He continued to speak to me, and I actually went to the Christian bookstore one day, and I seen one CD that stood out, and I was like, Lord, forgive me, but I'm going to buy this album. So I bought an album by Cross Movement, and it was called Holy Culture at the time. And they had interlude on there called The Laborers, and it spoke to the Christian population about using the gifts for the gospel, whether, you know, rapping or, you know, pretty much it was referring to rapping, and it was the light was shining through that one interlude, and I was like, oh, Lord, forgive me. I've been doing this for many years for the devil, and I can't even do it for you, so I repented. And as soon as I received that message, I start getting to work. So, and that was about, I think about 2004 or 2005. I'm not exactly sure. But I've been going ever since. So I totally understand, you know, everybody's belief in that. But, you know, if it's not in the Word, then how do we put it in the Word?
Right.
We're not supposed to put anything, add anything, or take anything away from the Word. So how do we make anything that God created and make it of the devil? So
right. Let me ask you a question.
That's just,
mm-hmm. Let me ask you a question. I know I met some brothers down in Nashville, and I don't know if you know Jay May. I met Omega Sparks, Justin Primus, and these guys, and Sharp Brothers. I mean, when I look at rap, I see it as a lyrical form of preaching the word, or mm-hmm. a lyrical form of sharing your testimony or sharing something God has given you. And that's when I begin to see. I saw it about a year ago. I didn't pretty much understand a lot of when I was out in the world. Didn't understand a lot of the rap that was going on out there. I knew some of it was really bad, but I didn't turn away from it. There were some things I just used to edge to. You didn't hear what they were saying. But when I began to listen to the lyrics of these brothers, they gave me their CDs, and I've had some of them on the show. I mean, these brothers out there talking, I'm a juggernaut for the Lord. I'm doing some great things in God. I'm busting up the concrete in my city, trying to share the gospel. It begins to impact me. These are some strong powerhouses. And mm-hmm. yourself, strong powerhouses, you're sharing some things that even on the pulpit they're not going to share because they're not out there in the street, or they're not out there. There's some preachers that can't go to reach some people that you can reach. That's why
exactly.
I really appreciate and I support what you're doing. And I wish I could really
appreciate
it. Let me see this. I can't rap. If I could, I would be hardcore for the gospel. So I applaud you for what you're doing. And I want to play something. Give me something. I've got songs here. What do you want me to play so our audience can hear some of what you do?
If you can play my bio first, that'd be great.
Okay, we're going to go. We're going to play my bio, and we'll be back in about 4 minutes. Stay tuned. We'll be back with NineCon with Dead Speed.
Born Los Angeles, 1979, January 16th, says she's alive. An asthmatic, cool though, it would disappear as I would grow. Two brothers, the middle child. No father, devoted mother, which was handicapped. She had a stroke at 2 years old. How she handled that?
Jesus.
Grew up poor with no car to cruise. In my shoes, you can play peek-a-boo. Cut the holes in them, in my clothes too. I had about 3 outfits I recycled. Stayed in church, in the choir stand. Junior deacon, even usher man. Growing up, learned the Christian way. My mama's plan was her baby boy would not stray. This is my bio, brother, yo. Seatbelt, I'll take you for a ride, yo. My journey, path to the present, from lost to a ministry. This is my bio, buckle your seatbelt, I'll take you for a ride, yo. This is my journey, path to the present, from lost to a ministry. Got a little older, little taller, with the ball in my hand, Drake baller. Whoever stick me, learn quickly. On any given night, I can score 50. Basketball was the world that I was living in. When the preacher was preaching, I was dribbling. Took my ball to church, man, I was hurt. When my basketball dreams didn't pan out and work. So I start rapping with the homeboys. When it got too late, we turned down the noise. using profanity and obscenity. Didn't want my mama to question my Christianity. From the rap group, South Central Finest. Got a little buzz, four of us united. Released the record and working on the second, which didn't release because the Lord didn't let it.
Hey-o.
This is my bio, brother, yo. Seatbelt, I take you for a ride, yo. This is my journey, path to the presence, from lost to a ministry. This is my bio, brother, yo. Seatbelt, I take you for a ride, yo. This is my journey, path to the presence, from lost to a ministry. Stepped into die at an early age. That's when I thought, yo, I gotta change. At this stage of life, critical. I knew turning to Christ to be pivotal. Life I was living was very pitiful, and everybody was watching me like a centerfold. Or at least that's how I felt. Lord, forgive me for my sins as I prayed and wept. So I stopped rapping, thought it was from the devil. Just wanted to change, help save and go to heaven. Threw away everything musical that I had, in exchange for spiritual things that made me glad. Just wanted to know more about him. Start living for Christ, not sin. But God told me that I had a ministry. You rap for the world, now turn around and rap for me. This is my bio, buckle your seatbelt, I'll take you for a ride, yo. This is my journey, path to the presence, from lost to a ministry. This is my bio, buckle your seatbelt, I'll take you for a ride, yo. This is my journey, path to the presence, from lost to a ministry.
All right, my bio. I love it, I love it, I love it. Bitch.
Amen.
I love it, Dad. You know what, Dad? I love that. That was a good song, but my favorite song, and I want to kind of hear what your words on it or what your views of it is, Conquerors just really spoke to me. And with each artist that we interview, I listen to their music just to see, you know, what all of it's going on so we can have something to talk about. But each time that we interview someone, it's certain songs that just stand out. And for me, it was Conquerors. And I know that's not one that you sent. So I'm hoping that just by hearing you talk about it and the audience hearing me talk about it, they'll want to hear it and they'll either download it on their iTunes or whatever, which is definitely what I plan to do. But tell me about Conquerors. What was it about Conquerors that did it for you? What was the purpose of that song?
Well, the Conquerors song, it was more of a, it started off as a solo song, and it was me testifying about my life and everything. But, you know, I had a couple homies come through, Eric Cross and a guy named For God, and also I had Chris Fields come through and sing the hook for me. And I just wanted to encourage everybody, because I have this motto. Me and my friends had this motto that became win for losing. I don't know if you ever heard of that line before, but every time something goes down, you're thinking it's going forward. You know, you take one step, you put two steps back. So I just want to let everybody know that I can't win for losing no more. I'm more than a conqueror. I am a conqueror.
Yeah.
So that's what that song was about.
I know that's right. We are all. Like, you know, that's something I want everybody in the audience to hear. You know, and I'm trying to beat them with life itself, beat up with words, and they think they're nothing. You know, I remember, and I shared on the previous broadcast before, a lot of things were said against me when I was coming up. My mother told me I was going to be an alcoholic, just like my daddy. I'm going to be a skirt chaser like my daddy. Excuse the expression, Bob. But you get a lot of things thrown at you. And but when that scripture speaks to me, it says, I'm more than a conqueror through him that loved me and overshadowed anything that's been said about me. So I love that. I love that.
Amen.
Yeah,
amen.
And it also overshadows that which we can't, that we think we can't do ourselves. You know, we get in our head sometimes that even though God has given us a vision to do what he wants us to do, sometimes we allow the situation or the circumstances around us to kind of push us down and make us think we can't be any more than what we think we can be. But you have to continue to say to yourself, I'm more than a conqueror. I can do this. I can do this. I can do all things through Christ, you know, Jesus that strengthens me. And so I guess that's one of the reasons I love the song so much. And again, I want our audience to know the name of the song again is Conquerors. And it's not one of the tracks we're going to be playing tonight. but I know it will speak to them like it spoke to me. So go to your iTunes, download it, you know, go buy a CD. I love it. You're going to love it. His music is great. And, again, you have to learn to think outside the box. Even though it's gospel rap, it is gospel. It's a positive message. You have to learn to look past the rhythm, look past what he's doing, and look at the message. The message is what's very important. And it's like Michael said a few minutes ago, that rap is a form of ministry. And you just have to think outside the box. Stop thinking people are trying to conform to the world, because that's not what it is. This is his message. This is what he does. And again, the scripture says different administration, but the same spirit, people. He's in the same spirit as Shirley Caesar, as Fred Hammond. He is doing his thing. Stop looking at what you think. Go ahead.
We have to understand that, you know, in the last days, God says he's going to pour his spirit on all flesh. And
that's
a lot of people think that when people preach, they have to be from behind the pulpit. But Dead Sea and all these other rap artists, they're out there preaching on the streets. They're out there preaching in the big old cathedrals or wherever they go, or in a park, wherever people congregate. That's their platform to preach and preach from their life.
That's right.
They preach a lifestyle than they had before. How else are they going to hear? We need Dead Sea. We need these people to share something that we can't reach the people that they can reach at all. Let me ask a question real quick, Avanda. I'd like to ask a question. There's something about DHP that nobody would ever know unless you told them, but it really impacts your life. And so am I asking to be just a little bit, not a lot, vulnerable? What would somebody not know about you that would really minister to them? They would only know if you told them, or if they already knew you or grew up with you.
You mean personally or just anything?
Well, anything personal, or either just something that impacts your life? You know.
Well, what a lot of people don't know, they see me as a very serious guy and everything, but most people don't know I'm a goofball, you know, at times. You know, I'm really, really a kid at heart that's a grown. So you get me around a group of kids, and we will have a lot of fun, more than the adults and everything. So, you know, that's a lot. That's one thing people really, really, even people that I minister with don't see that side of me. Unless they see me outside ministry.
Vonda, who does that remind you of? That reminds me of me. I'm like that. I'm like a big kid, and everybody always asks me, why do kids always flock to you? Why do they always want to wrestle with you? Why, you know?
I have to reel Michael in, because sometimes he gets to the point where he thinks the show is about him, because he is an artist too. But this is your show, Michael. We are not NIACOM. NIACOM is not interviewing you tonight. We're interviewing Dead Sea.
Now, I'm going to take this from her page. Somebody calls her Vonda May. Now, listen, Vonda May.
See? He went there. He did not. Oh, my goodness. See, I try to be. I'm going to be the safe for one tonight. Because I know that. See,
Vonda
that
May is
one.
All right. It's Vonda. Vonda May.
Back
Vonda
to May. Dead. He's lost it. I'm trying to reel things back in, but he's just wanting to play tonight. Back to Dead, Michael Anthony Johnson.
It's okay.
Dead, I was reading your bio. Michael, I was reading your bio, Dead, and it says you're from South Central LA. Now,
exactly.
I grew up in the Boys in the Hood era. And so I have this, me being from the suburbs and all that good stuff and loving Boys in the Hood for whatever reason, I guess just seeing another side of how I live and, you know, the different, how people live in different areas. Did you grow up, was anything like that in the movie that was depicted? Is that anything like what you went through being from South Central LA?
A lot of stuff that you see on TV is just TV, but that's real. So I would tell you straight up, you know, the street that they cruised on was Crenshaw. That's the same thing. When I was a youth, you know, I did the same thing, cruised Crenshaw, gangs here and there. I actually went to a Crenshaw High, which is right on right on Crenshaw. So, you know, it was exactly the way it was depicted. It was. It's not. It wasn't. It's gotten better as the years pass. But it is what the movies say it is. You know, and there's other movies like that too. Minister Society.
Right.
And this is just some other ones, and it's true. I have two cousins that was murdered a block. Well, one of them was murdered a block away from my house. Another one was murdered on Crenshaw, which I lived 5 minutes away from. So it's totally true. And you know, living a life in a hood. You know, I've been approached several times. I've been in some shootings, God spared me from. You know, it's just it's true. It's really true.
So and, with you being, I know your bio said that you were raised by a single mother. So I know it's the grace of God, but what kept you from getting in these gangs and getting caught up in all that,
you know,
all that gangs and stuff with?
You know, and thinking back, you know, I told you two of my cousins were murdered, but they were both in gangs. And we was best of cousins, and it's just odd that, you know, I grew up right across the street from them, and we was best friends. We played basketball, we played football every day together. We went to the same schools, and they was pushed one route, and I was pushed the other, and I was pushed in the church, and they was pushed in church as well, but they went a different route, and it's all the grace of God. It really is, because I would always wonder why his friends or why their friends wasn't my friends, and how come I got different friends from them when we so close? And it's just the grace of God that kept me away from there. I never even did any drug. I never did anything to this day. Never did anything, you know, with any drug or anything, because I was pushed a different route. I was in the sports and basketball and everything, and my mom was handicapped. You know, she had a stroke when she was 2 years old. So she would, if I'm late from school, she would drag her legs, you know, because she couldn't really walk correctly. She would drag her legs, searching for me for miles at a time. And I knew when she was looking, it was some problems. So I would go look for her. Please, Mama, come on. So my mom was a major part, but, you know, all through the prayers of my family and everything, I've never even gotten that close to that end of the spectrum. So praise God for that.
Amen. Definitely. Michael, we're going to play one of the other songs that Dad sent to us.
Oh, Officer Charles Mail. Oh, okay. We're just playing. Yes, we're going to play Fear No Evil. And we'll be back in about 4 minutes. This is Fear No Evil, Dad's Tree. Got your back.
Yes, you did. Play the song.
I'm trying to
push the button.
It
just play the song.
I'm sorry. You have to talk for another minute. I got to refresh. Could you push it? That's the top one. Fear No Evil. Just push the blue arrow.
What are you? I can't even see it.
No! Put Fear No Evil, the blue button.
See, you see what happens when he trusts me to do... I can't... I'm the topper, remember?
They're all at the top. Two, three, four. See, you got yourself back on that one. So, Dad's Tree, you were talented in sports and outside activities. While she's trying to find the blue button, tell us about the with that basketball
I
team. An audio clip, right? Are you in the studio?
I'm in the studio, and I don't see it. Can you just handle that, please, sir?
Okay, it says switchboard and then audio clip. Just hit the blue arrow on Fear No Evil. I can't, my computer's locked up.
Okay, thank you.
I got it. Thank you. Thank you. All right. Don't say that, because I can't get in yet. I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Even though I know the enemy is out to get me, how do I know? He was
out to get Jesus. What makes us better than the one who saved us? Was dead in our sins and he came and he raised us. Now a brother like this, P got favor. The enemy goes behind our back and try to paint the God of love into a God of lack. So when your dough is low, you sell crack and smack, pack your gap. Your neighbor's bourbons and like if I wasn't hip to the game like Bo Jackson. I know I stray from the way of life that's everlasting. Imagine me in a position I never ever could fathom. I'll be ghost like phantoms, no more soldier anthems. And that'll be if I took on the evil forces. Without the Lord, but since I have him, you know my choices.
I will see no evil, no. I know that God will intercede. You go on and read, read Psalms 23. I will see no evil, no. What kind of Christian would I be? Walking by what I see, in the things around me. Read Psalms 23 and 4.
I came to God even though I was hesitant. Yep, my approval rate dropped like the president. So I ain't ashamed, like archers, I aim for targets to unsave. Like, that brother get started. I had gangsters that wanna be dead, man. Like, don't stop the spot, I'm covered in red, man. Blood of Christ, yo, you heard what I said, man. My God does me better than Oprah can stand, man. I'm fed, man, with scriptures and devotion, promoting the gospel in hostile takeovers. I'm blessed, don't need luck for 40 clovers. That's why I'm always conquering my enemy soldiers. I'm a warrior like Canton Jones. I got soldiers that are vouch for me. Ain't I home?
Yeah.
Be through the unsafe like Afro Combs. And give me the knowledge to teach them the right from wrong.
I will see no evil, no. I know that God will intercede for me. And if you don't believe, you can go on and read, read Psalms 23. I will see no evil, no. What kind of Christian would I be? Walking by what I see, entertaining the things around me. Read Psalms 23 and 4.
Beeping with me, homie, I feel sad for you. Beeping just like pork, it's just bad for you. And even Christians get involved in that nonsense. Cause like Penny, they put in their 2 cents. I'ma speak like a death lurks around the corner. And that's the enemy's job, to try to sneak up on you. Then you speak some words into existence. Before you know, it'll pop up in an instant. I will not lose, I'm more than a conqueror. Conquering death through Christ in the world's own like Contra. God is my head honcho. On his behalf, I speak life like Devo. No longer like Elmo. So even if my life is threatened, I'm letting the suspect know it's Christ I'm repping. Yep, walk the hook, I'll give you that in a second. The 66 books is the proof I'm protected.
I will see no evil, no. I know that God will intercede for me. And if you don't believe, you can go on and read, read Psalms 23. I will see no evil, no. What kind of Christian would I be? Walking by what I see, entertaining the things around me. Read Psalms 23 and 4. I know that God will intercede. What kind of Christian would I be? Walking by what I see, entertaining the things around me. Read Psalms 23 and 4.
Yeah, I love that.
I love that.
That's mine.
Awesome. Read Psalms 23. I like it.
Yeah.
I like it.
I love it.
So
cool.
It does.
Michael, did you get the thing back up? Because you know I'm the talker.
Yeah.
You're supposed to be over the technical part of it, and you just messed up my flow with all of that.
I'm so sorry. It froze up, but I knew I could count on you because you just like to be the bomb. You know that.
Yeah, I got a quiet
for about 3 seconds. You all right. The fact that you did, but you give inspiration like that to write, and what setting did God give you songs like that? Because that can minister to so many. It touched my heart, and that's the kind of music that I would just jump at. Where did you get that?
Well, when I wrote that song, it's about being in Los Angeles. That's pretty much where I got that from. And you know, the album is called Word on the Street, so I was trying to give a street feel to people that on the street can feel it and they can say, oh, you know what, I'm going through the same thing. I live in, you know, the projects or the hood, and you know what, since I got God, I don't have to worry about nothing. And that's pretty much what that was all about. You know, I just wanted to give encouragement. And, you know, pretty much my music is all about encouraging, uplifting, not even just the body, but non-believers as well. So, you know, they can be uplifted and possibly, you know, become a believer in Christ.
Amen. And where can people get the CD from? I mean, as far as, and I want to give an opportunity because I'm going to buy that myself. Where can we get your CD? So let us do all the vehicles or avenues where we can pick it up.
Well, it's available right now on iTunes, Amazon, CD Baby, any of the major online stores. You can pick it up from any one of those. So just search me in DHP, and it should be able to. It should be coming up with no problems.
And DHP is DEDGEP. So DHP. You go to Facebook, he's in iTunes and Rhapsody, all of the places in your online radio stores. Pick up this product. What's the name of the CD?
The album is Word on the Street.
Word on the Street. I love that, too. So, like I said, it's an incredible ministry you have. And we're excited. Now, we were saying before we went to the break about sports, that God used you in sports and leading some teams. Tell us about that.
Oh, yeah. I was actually into basketball really, really heavily. And, you know, I did that for many, many years. And, you know, I just didn't, it didn't, I allowed outside ventures to mess up that. But, you know, in the same sense, it opened up the music for me. So
yeah.
once I left that alone, I got to music. And then, you know, it was secular, but I was able to turn that around once God delivered me from my sins. And I was able to do it for him. So, you know, it was a blessing in disguise because I never knew that I was going to be, you know, asked me 10 years ago, I would never, ever know that I would be where I am right now. So I just praise God for that. You know, where would I be? You know, sometimes you got to think about it.
Amen. You know what, Dej, I can never interview an artist without bringing up, you know, singlehood and marriage and all that good stuff because that's what I do. And I have a group on Facebook called, and it kind of mirrors my organization, it's called Time Between I Do. I know because we're friends, I know that you are a newlywed. Well, I think you're still a newlywed. It's been, what, 2 years?
Yeah.
I'm good.
Coming up 2 years in June. It'll be 2.
You made it 2 years. That's a good thing. And this day
So I need to know,
and the listeners need to know, those that are single, you know, what advice would you give to them that are single and waiting for God to send them someone? Tell them what they need to do. What did Dej do? I mean, in courting a woman and all that good stuff, tell women how we should act, tell men what they should do. Just give them some advice. I need to know.
Okay. One of my biggest things was just say no. That was my biggest thing. You know, I was out there, and you know, I met a lot of women, and we was just friends and everything. But you know, you meet people outside the church, even inside the church. You know, at one point in time, it might come to a hot and steamy point, and you have to say no. You have to say no, and I got, you know, it's funny because I will say no so much that they will say, "Are you gay?" I'm like, no, that's not even it, you know, and it's true, and they're trying
even
to attack you that way.
Even Christian women, didn't they say it? Christian women,
yes,
didn't
they did.
That's bad for
us. Yep. All right, enough of that.
So,
I need to, I'm trying to get it straight now. I'm not, I had to interrupt just for a minute. You said no. You said no. Did I hear you say that right?
That's correct. I said no. So, yeah, that's absolutely correct. No. So,
okay, carry on.
So,
I'm sorry. What?
Okay, Dennis, let's help you.
we as Christian men, we face even some women in the church. Some of them, they're growing too. They're still babies, and they don't know. And sometimes they flirt a little bit more than they should. But we have to be the strong point sometimes to say no. And there's times, even in my Christian walk right now, and I'm not trying to turn around to me, I'm just saying, as a Christian man, I have to be the strong man to say no. I've had to get mature enough because I can enter into some stuff. And then you can back me up on this. We can enter into some stuff we can't get out of ourselves unless it'll help us.
Yeah. It's true. It's true. Yeah,
I love the fact that, I mean, I'm still stuck on the fact that you said no, because you get so many women, and I mean, on a serious tip, you get so many women who are the ones saying no when we're trying to tell the man, look, we need to wait. And it's, and obviously we're talking about in the Christian world, because for me, I haven't been in the world in a very, very long time. And everyone that knows me and my story and has read my book or whatever, they know what my platform is. They know I'm 39, I'm still a virgin, all that good stuff. So, yeah, I kind of got the word no down to a science at this point.
I hear you.
It's so many Christian men, and obviously from your testimony, Christian women, or supposedly, that are not saying no. And it makes it hard on the other individual. And I know this is one of the questions that came through my group the other day about when one is saved and when one is not, or the concept of kissing before marriage, and, you know, how do you do it if one believes and one doesn't? How did you maintain your integrity? Was your spouse equally with you when it came down to making those decisions? Was she with you? I don't want you to tell your business or anything, but how did you keep you together? We'll just put it that way.
Well, we had discussed it, how, you know, to clarify things, this is actually my, so the first marriage didn't work out. I was, she decided she didn't want to be married anymore, and, had to move on, and I got the divorce and everything. When I talked to my current wife, we talked about sex before marriage and everything, and we talked about that we didn't want to before, before time. So, it was tough. It's not going to be easy. It's absolutely
right.
Easy, but it was good because we both made the decision. We both wanted to get closer to Christ, and, we spent our time, our spare time together. We went to Bible studies. We went to prayer meetings together, and we just built from the Word instead of the world. So that's how we got through that. And I believe anybody can get through that if they has to be a mutual thing. Because if one person wanted to do another thing, it's not going to work out if the other one doesn't cave in. Even if the one cave in, they might resent that person for putting them in that position, knowing that, how they feel and believe. So I say, like I said before, just say no. And if your significant other can't get over that, then maybe you have to move on.
Yeah.
I like that. You said from the Word and not the world. I like that. That was good. That was good to build on. More people should hear that. From the Word, you build on the Word, not the world. That's good. That's what I took from this whole interview. I'm sorry. That just means so much. And you just said what I try to convey to my single people all over the world, just trying to help them understand that in this holding period, what you should be concentrating on. And so that right there, what you said, building on the Word and not the world, says it all for me. Okay, I'm going to shut up now. Go ahead, Mike. I'm sorry.
No, it's your show. Go ahead.
I keep telling you should make me the host and not a co-host. This is mine.
I do want to piggyback off. I do want to piggyback off what you're saying, because I think this is a real talk situation. When I think this is the direction of the Holy Spirit of this show, how as far as Christians, how we ought to act. I mean, Paul speaks about a lot of different things in his epistles. And in real talk, there's a thing in Christendom that we are dealing with, and there has to be a lot of Christians that haven't sex. And, they should have a standard that they set. They should have a standard in their lives. And sometimes there's not even a conviction. It's got to the point where they're seared. And how can we get back to what Dad is talking about? How can we get back? I mean, there's some things that, I'm single now. I was married, and the same thing. When you said what you said, I would do the same thing. I was married before. She decided she didn't want to live for Christ, decided she didn't want to be married anymore. And when we had two kids. And boom, here we go. And then I'm thrust back into the single life thinking I was going to be married. for the rest of my life. And boom, there I am. I've got kids. I'm divorced, and boom. And then ministry. I mean, there was a period in ministry over about 5 to 7 years, and I'll say service like that. Well, I couldn't even preach because it devastated me to get a divorce. It's like a death because there's something going on. Let's talk about that.
Well, that's a very good point because after my divorce, I kind of I had like a 2 year sabbatical, and I was that's like you said, I was crushed, and you know I prayed and about marriage. I wanted to work. We had 2 kids together, and you know I just felt like this was what God wanted me to do. This is the person He called me to be with, and you know it just didn't stay, and it really devastated me. So through the whole time, my faith fluctuated, you know, and I wasn't sure what I wanted to do, if I was even supposed to minister or rap anymore. Sometimes I didn't even feel saved, you know, like, and it's hard because, you know, this is one thing, you know, the church don't talk about is divorce. I mean, if it is, isn't it bad?
Yeah.
Like, so, you know, I didn't want to be like, you know, the divorced Christian rapper out there, and he's ministering to me about, you know, whatever he is, and, you know, he ain't right. But, you know, it's, we are human, and we all go through our struggles in life, and, you know, it's only God, I'm telling you, it's God, because, you know, I wasn't even looking for my wife when I found her, and she became my best friend first, you know.
Yay!
Yes, I love that.
I'm sorry. You know I love that, Michael. I am just so elated that you said that. Oh, my gosh. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I interrupted again, didn't I? I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Come jump on in there.
No, I'm sorry.
No, it's crazy. I totally understand.
Yo, this is where we are.
I get excited.
With her forum, I mean, and I haven't been on there lately because I've been busy. I'm trying to build a business. But I love going on there because it's real talk, and we can be real about things. And that's what I think a lot of Christians, they try to create this facade of who they are, and they're not living it. And I think that's the wall that needs to come down. Let's be real. We're bereft in human flesh. Yes, we have sexual desires. Yes, we have all these things. But we can have a standard in our lives that we can live. This is a thing that we can live practically. We can be saved and not have sexual intercourse. We can be saved and have morals. We can be saved and put the application of Scripture into our lives and live it out.
Right.
That's what this is going to change lives when they see us living the Word.
That's right. You have to. I have a new lady within the group, and she's recently divorced, and she's week two, I believe, and she puts in the weeks when she comes in, and she's like week two after my divorce, and she's having a hard time coping, and it's amazing on the group or in the forum that people jump on people that need encouragement, and the advice I gave her, you know, I've never been married or obviously divorced, but the one advice I gave her was just allow yourself time to heal. That's anything, because healing is a process, and you can't expect it to take place overnight, and so
that's
I can't even imagine being single. I can't even imagine what it's like to have waited this long and then to get into a relationship or a commitment such as marriage, and then it's over. I just can't, you know, we all go into the, I'm sure everyone goes into the attitude of going into marriage thinking I'm not going to get a divorce. We're going to be married forever. We're going to grow old together. We're going to be 60, 75 years old. We're going to be celebrating our 50th anniversary. I think that's what we all think. At least that's in my mind how I want it to play out. So when it doesn't, I'm sure there's hurt attached to it. And so I don't know what it's like. So I'm with Michael. I'm really glad that this is coming out and definitely feeling like this is the way God wanted the show to go. So I really appreciate you opening up and being transparent, because some people, especially within the body of Christ, and I think you hit on it a few minutes ago, the church doesn't talk about it because they feel like they're advocating it by saying, you know, by talking about it, it's like you're saying it's okay, and it's not. But you have to deal with real things, real life. Realistically speaking, you have to deal with real-life issues. And so I really appreciate you being so transparent with your life and sharing with our audience, you know, what you're going through. Again, I appreciate that. So go ahead, Mike.
One thing about healing, and maybe this is where the Holy Spirit is in this way too, during those 5 to 7 years, I remember the first and second years after my divorce, I was still driving down the Central Expressway, yelling at her about stuff she didn't, why she did this and why you do that. And my kids were in the car, and my daughter looked at me and said, "Dad, who are you talking to?" It was that devastating to me. Years afterwards, I was still going through a healing process and yelling about stuff that I wasn't healed from yet, and it took a while for it to heal. So, yes, I support you in telling her it's going to take a while to heal and allow God to get into those deep places, because that's the part that we hide sometimes as Christians from God and from ourselves and from others, is those deep hurts, because a divorce is a deep hurt. Because it's like a death that takes place.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. And I felt like I was dead inside, and it was a ripping away. It's like somebody got ripped away from my life, and so that, and I can talk about it like it's nothing now, and it's still something, but it takes time to heal, and don't fool yourself. You're going to have to let God get into those little deep crevices of your heart and allow him to heal before you're ready to get married again, because if they get married when they still have the hurt, they're going to run into the same deep problem. We want to get ready for the next song. Tell us what you want us to play next.
You can play Where Would I Be?
Where Would I Be?
No, play his song, Michael. Play his song.
Oh, so,
no.
Okay. Here we go. We're going to play Where Would I Be by Jack C. We'll be back in a minute.
Thank you.
Where would I be?
Life me and raise up me. I could have been a man stuck with no future, growing up with AKs and bazookas, bandaged up with guards and sutures, on the front line with enemies constantly trying to shoot at you. My nightmare is somebody's reality, and I ain't where I wanna be, but still know I gotta be thankful. I was once on the wrong road. Not today I can say I'm not a lost soul. The streets are just like poker, you bound to fold. Live by the gun, die by the gun, is what I'm told. Live for the dough, die for the dough. You never see the streets of gold, and heaven is actually gold. So when my life is twisted up like a pretzel, I can give it all to the Lord and then let go.
Hustling, ducking 5-0, in and out of court, praying that'll be the case.
Yeah.
When I shouldn't have been hustling in the first place, probably be locked down, serving about 10. From a life of sin that put me in the pen, probably 6 feet deep, burning eternal sleep. On fire, and I ain't talking Miami Heat. I thank you, Lord, for blessing me with another chance. Took me out of the world, and I understand. What would it profit a man to have everything? Leave earth and burn in hell forever, man. Thank you, Lord, you died and wiped my slate clean. Grace and mercy, John 3:16. You bled and died for me on Calvary. If it wasn't for your love, where would I be?
Nobody's around me, I am not alone. When the world turns against me and they throwing stones, I can always seek the protection in my father's home. The world is so crazy, it'll make you crazy, especially for those who have families. They want a better life, bugs to the babies. They don't care about the luxurious Mercedes. I get some different strokes for different folks. Live what I got, man, I might as well be broke. Without him, I know that I am nothing. No sense of me lying to myself like I am something. Like Sinatra, for a while I did it my way. I had to change, it was always all about me. So I don't care what everybody else gotta say. Without the Lord on my side,
where would
I
be?
Where would I be?
I like it.
Where
I love it.
Awesome. I think we're in a pocket where God wants us to be right now. I've got some people texting me. I have a friend of mine that's in from Kansas City, and she said this is where she is. I told her to call back in. We'll get her on here. But this is where we need to rest the rest of the show is, you know, we need to find out how these deep hurts are we going to allow God into these deep scars in our lives. And I know her testimony in Kansas City, well, what she's going through, that's hurting right now. And they're wondering how can they be healed. And Dad and Vonda wanted to chime in anyway because I can sense the hurt. And I remember how much I hurt. I remember staying up all night. I remember being in the kitchen on the floor crying my eyes out when my kids asleep, trying to be quiet. As a grown man crying, my kids in the room, like, Lord, why did this happen to me? Why did I have to go through divorce? Where did I go wrong? What happened? And so let's deal with that because I want our listening audience to be healed. I want those that are going through times when they're trying to make a standard in their lives and all they have is people coming at them with sensual, no scruples as far as the sensuality is concerned, trying to strip away the purity that's in our young men and women out there. And let's talk about that for just the next few minutes that we have. How can we help? Because we're going to pray at the end, but I want you guys to chime in on what you feel we can need to end this show with.
Now, what can we do to help? We can just, you know, we can pray with each other, build each other up, you know. And one of my issues was I was alone. I'm not going to say that I was left alone. God never left me alone. But I was left alone. So, like, the same people I ministered to and, you know, I lifted and edified and built up, I kind of expected that same thing back. And I didn't get it back, which kind of hindered me a little bit. So I think we just need to encourage one another, especially we know that our brothers and sisters are going through something like that. We should be right there, like, you know, texting, calling, Facebook, and Twitter, tweeting, you know, whatever it is, you know, encouraging. And, I'm not sure how you dealt with it or how the body accepted you. But I wasn't, it wasn't going for me. So I think that's just from my personal experience. I would have been a lot better off if my own church members would have came up to me and prayed for me, you know, or if they seen that I missed a week or two at church, you know, let me give Dad a call. What's going on with him? And a lot of the times I was in a funk. I didn't want nobody to bother me, but that one little how you doing would have made the world to me. So I think we just need to uplift one another, regardless of what it is.
Yes.
Regardless of what it
it's
is.
Accountability. You know what I'm saying? Accountability or making each other accountable. If I miss a Sunday, or if you look at me and I look troubled in my spirit, don't walk away.
Yeah.
Get involved in my life. Get involved with those people in your church. Or make yourself vulnerable to somebody in your church who can pray with you. That's one thing, and I've agreed with you there, is that sometimes we miss that. We miss opportunities to help each other grow or stay solid. If somebody's doing something, you know it, and you walk away, what does that say about us as a church or as brothers and sisters in Christ? What does that say? We got to get involved. And I got to ask a question one of our guests wants me to ask, who do you listen to? Ask this, who does he like to listen to when he listens to music, or who influences him when he writes? That's what about
I listen to a great variety of music. I'm really, really into, you know, believe it or not, I love Richard Smallwood, Smokey No Phil, and I like a lot of stuff like that. And then, you know, rap and everything. I like a lot of everybody. I love Lecrae, so I can't say I don't listen to him. I love him. I love a lot. It's just so much that I listen to. I got probably about 300 or 400 artists on my iPod right about now. And it just depends on the time, worship mode. Maybe I'm hyped, or you know, it just depends on the time. And you know, I'm just influenced by a lot of Christian music, and that's really all I listen to.
I don't know how
what did you.
Let me give this a number real quick. A guest call-in number, if you're listening on the Internet and you got some questions you want to ask Dad and you want to ask in person, go ahead and call in on your cell phone. It's the best way to do. Call 323, area code 323. I'm going to slow down. 693. 3830. Go ahead and call in. We'll get you in. The last few minutes, we'll stay over, probably about 10 minutes on the show. It's okay. Blog Talk allow us to do that. You can download the show and get all the everything from its entirety. But if you want to call in, 323-693-3830. Remember to push one when it asks you. That means you can be interviewed. If you don't push one, it's just going to hang out there in La La Land. We don't know you're there. Okay, go ahead, guys. I didn't mean to do that, but I have to segue that in.
Okay. Deb, I just, again, I appreciate you being here. I'm learning so much more about you because, as I said, I've been friends with you for a while, just Facebook friends. I want people to understand you're a great person. If they send you a Facebook, an invite or whatever you're going to do, then you actually talk to them. And it's so important. And, I appreciate you being so transparent to the listeners, and I'm so glad that people are getting something from you. And this is, it's great to have people interact with you. And to see people actually listening in and having questions is so important. So I think Dean, who asked that question of you, what influences you and all of that. But what I want to know, I think you kind of hit on it earlier, but what did you grow up with? Was this, I know you didn't grow up with rap because it wasn't a big thing as far as gospel rap then. Who did you grow up with being your major influences?
I was into the worldly music. I was the Ice Cubes, the Dr. Dre's, the Nas's, you know, that's what I was into. So that's what influenced me to rap. But actually, you know, the first person I ever patterned myself from was my older brother. He was he 1 year older than me. He's actually the pastor of my church, Kingdom Life Ministry.
Oh wow!
And he started rapping. He started rapping in the karaoke machine, and I would go back in my room and I would start writing, try to write like him or try to write better than him, and it just never came out until years and years down the line when he stopped the minister. He's probably started ministering at like 13 or 12 or something like that. And then once he stopped, I took on the writing and rapping. It really is poetry, but it turned into to rapping and everything. So that's how really, really what influenced me. But opposed to major, it was the secular artist. That was who I, you know, listen to at the time.
Awesome. Okay. I mean, I wanted to hear that. I wanted you to say that. I really did want you to say that because it's important that people realize Dej P hasn't always been saved, as most of us have not been. So, again, I wanted people to realize you were not conforming. You took what you knew, and that's what God does. He takes what we know, and he turns it into our message. He takes what people say, that he takes our mess and turn it into our message and our test and turn it into a testimony. So that's what he did for you. He didn't get rid of that old stuff. God gets rid of the stuff he can't use, but the stuff he can, he's going to take and use it for his glory. And that's what I liked, and I wanted, and I'm so glad you brought that out, that he took what you did back then. He took what you did, and he made something great out of it. And though some people might not get into it, they might not like it, that's okay. For them, that music is out there. But for those who, you know, can really relate to what you're doing, I think those are the people that your message is for. So it's not for the rest of them who don't like it. So I think that's the message I'm glad you conveyed, and that's the message I'm trying to convey for you as well, that if they don't like it, that's okay. But for the people that do, they're going to get something out of it, and God's going to save them because of it. So really glad you said that.
And also, go ahead.
That don't listen to Christian music, but because of my background and where I'm from, and even just knowing that I rap, he confided in me. So we work together. So every day I would minister to him every day, just to let him know that he you know, the devil is trying to kill him, because he was a gang member. So what happened was, one day he was at his house, and some guys came up with and put a gun in his face. So, you know, he ran to the house, came out and got his guns and ran across the street to go get these guys. And he said the one thing that stopped him from killing these guys was the word that God gave me to give to him. And he said he seen my face, and he stopped. And he turned back and went to his house. So it's not just who it affects, the people that's listening to the music. It affects the people outside that just respect that you're doing it in the first place.
Yeah. And let's take this moment right now. We got about 34 seconds on airtime, but we're going to go over it a little bit because I want to play the last song, and that last song will carry us out. But let's take the time right now that I know there's people hurting. I want you to pray for Dad. If you would pray for them, the people that's hurting because of divorce and going through just what we went through, and also people that are dealing with loneliness and people that are dealing with, you know, sexual desires, you know, and they're allowing to overcome them. They want some strength and they want some standards. Could you pray real quick for them?
Okay. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to you right now just to say thank you, Lord. Thank you for being so good and so kind. Thank you for another day, another time, another place, another second, Lord. We just thank you and give you glory and honor, Lord. Right now, we ask you to look over those hurting right now, those that are maybe going through a divorce, those that may have been sexually abused or are going through sexual things or just anything that's not of you, Lord. I pray that you would send laborers in the harvest right now, that you would minister to them, the Lord, and right now in Jesus' name, that you would send the comforter to comfort them now in the name of Jesus. Lord, we know that you are a deliverer and you will deliver those of you, Lord. In Jesus' name, we thank you and praise you. Amen.
Amen. Anybody listening, hope you heard that prayer. It goes out to you all over the world, whoever downloads this show. And we're going to end the show, but I'm going to play your music all the way out. If you want to know any more information about DHP and how you can get his information, get him at your church, get him at your function, let them know, Dej, where they can find you or how they can get you at their church.
Get hold of me at Facebook/DejP, Twitter/DejP, or my email is DejP@gmail. And I'll give you every information you need. My ministry is Kingdom Life Ministries. Anything you need, I would love for you to come to my church. You know, if you're in L.A., you want to come through, hit me up. And, you know, I'll arrange, I'll give you the different directions and everything you needed. You know, I just want to be a blessing. So I'm blessed so I can be a blessing. So,
amen. And we're going to end on this song, I Don't Care, by DHP. And at the end of the song, of course, we'll be off the show. You guys don't have to hang on, but I just want to thank you, DHP, for being on our show. Niacom platform is completely for artists, independent artists just like yourself. We want to give you a platform, and I hope you come back and join us again. Go ahead, Yolanda.
Appreciate it.
Thank you, Dez. I appreciate you, and I'll hit you up on Facebook or text you, and I really appreciate you being on.
No problem. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Okay, have a great evening. We're going to end with I Don't Care by DHP.
Cameras hit me in the club as I glide. My song bumping, so I gotta let my head bob. See my homies in the clock, point, give a head nod. Lights flickering as I look all around me. See another dude, I don't know, I still pound him. That's the average video. Cars, rims, women, clothes. Throw a gang sign to the camera as I call that pose. I used to be a part of that environment. Till the Lord saved me, word rearranged me. Became born again like an itty bitty baby. Now I ain't tripping cause the liquor don't save me. Threw the bottle away so I don't drink no more. When the pain and sorrow comes, all I do is hit the flow. These are a few things I used to care about, but now with the Lord, yo, I can figure it out. I don't care no more, now I'm rolling with the Lord. I don't care no more, now I'm rolling with the Lord. I don't care, I don't care. I don't care no more, now I'm rolling with the Lord. I don't care no more, now I'm rolling with the Lord. I don't care no more, now I'm rolling with the Lord. I don't care, I don't care. I don't care no more, now I'm rolling with the Lord. These dudes looking at me like I'm so strange. Looking at me like I ain't got no brains. But your boy James, they say I got talent. And me rapping God is not appealing to their palate. They like you wasting your time and effort for really nothing. You can make a lot of money if you stop fronting. Nobody wanna hear what I'm talking about. The word won't return void coming out my mouth. Not doing this for glory or the accolades and the fame and how much I can get paid. You can hold your breath, thinking it's a phase. What I wanna do, I wanna bring change. My rap won't save, it just lead to God. And I owe it to the Lord to give them my all. If I fall, I'm getting back up and going hard for the Lord like a Mack truck. I don't care no more, now I'm rolling with the Lord. I don't care no more, now I'm rolling with the Lord. I don't care, I don't care. I don't care no more, now I'm rolling with the Lord. I don't care no more, now I'm rolling with the Lord. I don't care no more, now I'm rolling with the Lord. I don't care, I don't care. I don't care no more, now I'm rolling with the Lord. I may not have a lot of jewelry blinging. I'm here to represent the King of Kings, man. I know it's not the popular folks, but this election's red, so I honestly hope you get your stuff right before your death night. Physically, things won't last, and you know I'm right. I used to be concerned about the kind of car I rode. Portrayed the image, but glitter was gold. Living a rap life was a sight to behold. So I hustle day and night just to weaken the fold. Talking about the money, talking about the fame. JB, Jay-Z, money ain't a thing. Diamonds in my ear the size of a pinky ring. Lose my soul in the process, man, that's really lame. Label me a L7, I don't really mind. I'ma let my light shine like it's Christmas time. I don't care no more, now I'm rolling with the Lord. I don't care no more, now I'm rolling with the Lord. I don't care, I don't care. I don't care no more, now I'm rolling with the Lord. I don't care no more, now I'm rolling with the Lord. I don't care no more, now I'm rolling with the Lord. I don't care, I don't care. I don't care no more, now I'm rolling with the Lord.
And we just want to take this moment, if somebody still missed any or after the download, we just want to just offer you, if you don't know about the Christian life or how you can be saved, we want to point it out to you in Scripture, because the Bible that you have is in Romans, the 10th chapter, on the 9th verse. And I'm going to sort of paraphrase it for you so we don't take a lot of time. It says, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, that thou shalt be saved. And I'm going to have you pray a prayer with me right now, because we never want to take, leave the show without giving someone a platform as well to get saved or receive Christ in their life. Just pray this prayer with me. Heavenly Father, I believe with my heart and I confess with my mouth that I believe that Jesus died for me and he rose again from the dead. And I ask you to come into my heart, sit upon the throne of my heart and transform my life. And I want to have the type of life, Lord, free of pain, free of hurts, free of all the things that have been said against me. I open my heart and I allow Jesus Christ to sit up on the throne of my heart. I believe that I've spoken these things that you said in your word in Romans the 10th chapter, the 9th verse, and therefore I believe I'm saved. In Jesus' name, amen. If you pray that prayer with me, I want you to email me at micjoh37@yahoo.com. And I just want you to know that we love you here. Vonda, you're there?
I'm here.
Yeah, we want you to know we love you and be a part of what we're doing each week. I'm telling you, you're going to enjoy some great things. Vonda, why don't you sign us off?
Just thank you for listening again. We're NIACOM, which is New Independent Artists Communicating Our Message. We appreciate our listening audience. We do not take it lightly that you guys listen in, you tune in, you chat in. And Michael and I are so grateful to have you. And I'm praying God's blessings on you this week and tonight, and that God's blessings and favor will overtake you. And thank you for supporting us. Thank you for listening every Saturday. We appreciate you. Have an awesome worship experience in the morning, and we love you.
Good night.
Good night.